Yeah, it's really low. But yes, that's Maya Devi's potency. And she has that ability. So, and Prabhupada would repeat over and again, how does a pig enjoy what it's doing? And it's enjoying it. What to speak of, and the worms, and the bugs, and the flies, and everything else, because they're Maya. And as attractive as Krishna is, we get an idea of how powerful the material energy is. So vilajamanam yasya. Krishna's shadow is Maya Devi, or Maya Devi standing in Krishna's shadow. And she's very, very powerful. So she has this ability to both draw our attention, to cast us into illusion, and to keep us in illusion. And she'll keep them in illusion forever with the same thing, with the same sexual attraction, with the same material attachments. In fact, it's sometimes quite amazing how uncreative, say, in the example of Krishna Consciousness Movement, how uncreative devotees are in the ways they fall down. Isn't it? They fall for the same old trick. So, no, my lady must get bored. At least in previous stages, Bharat Maharaj was a deer. Now that's creative. Or an apsara, that's. But in Kali Yuga, people settle for the same old thing. And so, in order to actually be free from the influence of this material energy, only attraction to Krishna is powerful enough to overcome attraction to the material energy. Therefore, this raga dvesha vimuktastu visharanindriyascha. Therefore, this repulsion, it doesn't work, it's not enough. In other words, you can't just be repulsed by sense gratification, because it'll be temporary, because there isn't actually that real attraction. So Krishna begins the seventh chapter saying, Maya sakta mana aparta. So he says, Maya sakta asakti. He says, unless you have this attraction for me, then it's not going to work. And ultimately, Krishna consciousness means developing attraction for the Lord. So the Varnashram system is ultimately meant for those people who practice spiritual life. They regulate their sense gratification, because when it's unregulated, then there's no possibility for sadhana. Sadhana means regulated spiritual life, like we have. No illicit sex. Doesn't mean no sex, but no illicit sex. So it's regulated. And when you accept the regulation, then that's what the Vedic system is. You accept regulation of the Vedas and great acharyas, and then you can advance in spiritual life. And the result of advancing in spiritual life is Chaitanya Bhavana Marjana, is purification of the heart. And the result of purification of the heart is that one then, by association with Krishna, naturally becomes attracted. Because Krishna is Krishna. So Krishna means Krishi Bhuvajaka Shabdo Nasha Nivriti Vajaka. So Krishi means that who's attracting, that unlimited attraction, unlimited attractive power of Krishna. And only if Krishna attracts us away from the material energy can we actually really give it up. So somehow or another, whether it's these very sinful people that Narada Muni is talking about, and then we should keep in mind, yes, this is a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, but taken in context, it's not a process of sadhana that Narada Muni is recommending. Oh, well, look here, Narada Muni says that, yes, we can just overindulge and we'll become disgusted with sense gratification, so let's go the way of that chap who had how many Rolls Royces? I don't know, as many as McDonald's had hamburgers. So he had a lot of Rolls Royces. He died of throat cancer, very painful, at a relatively young age. This is not Srimad Bhagavatam's recommendation. It's part of the 18,000 verses, and picking out this one verse and just making this as the theme of devotional activity then becomes offensive hearing. Just like there's offensive chanting, so there's also offensive hearing, selective hearing. Taking things out of context is also offensive. We're meant to actually hear things in context. So Srimad Bhagavatam has what as its main theme? It's there in the very beginning that Tadvadeti Swayambhayam, that just by one saying Krishna's name, that's right in the second chapter, so immediately the glorification of Krishna's name is there. And Srimad Bhagavatam ends with Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sava Papa Panasanam. It's the last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya. So the message of Srimad Bhagavatam is Sankirtan. The message of Srimad Bhagavatam is practicing Nam Sankirtan by regulating one's senses. There are different regulations for different classes of people. For Krishna consciousness movement, we know what the formulas are. Srila Prabhupada makes it abundantly clear in his purports. There may be these types of people, very, very sinful people. But ultimately, it's not sense gratification that's going to liberate them. But that's when they have that sense of frustration, where do they go? And if the timing's not right, then Maya Devi will ensure that they go back again to material energy. Then tomorrow, Narada Muni sums up this verse, this chapter, Yasaya Lakshanam Poktam Pungso Varnabhigantam. Very important verse, where he says. Because, in one sense, this is one of the, sort of a key verse, that when we talk about what is the qualification for someone being a brahmana, for being a sannyasi. Here, he says, if one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, as described above, even if he appears in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. Very, very important verse. Because in just one fell swoop, it just removes this whole misconception of the, which has become the modern caste system. If you're not born in a Brahmin family, then you can't be a Brahmin. And Srila Prabhupada would give the example of, what's the example of?
Of being born in the...
What's the name? What's the name of that, it's that Upanishadic story of who comes to Gautama Muni, Satyakam Javat, whose mother sends him to Gautama Rishi, accept the spiritual master, and go to study. Gautama Rishi says, I only accept Brahmins. This was your father. He goes back to his mother, says, who's my father? He says, I don't know. If you say you don't know who your father is, that means your mother had liaisons with more than just one man, and she doesn't know. So Satyakam Javad went back to Gautama Muni. He says, I don't know. He says, okay, I'll accept you. But only a Brahmin could say that. He says, if you weren't a Brahmin, you wouldn't be telling the truth. You wouldn't be saying, in short, that I may be, dot, 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 dot. especially in Vedic culture. So he said, and that's what Narada Muni here is also saying. That if someone has these symptoms, lakshana, this word lakshana is an important verse. It comes up in Chaitanya Charitamrita and so on also. When you accept a incarnation according to their lakshana, but yasala lakshana. And it's important for us also as Vaishnavas, how do we measure a Vaishnav? How do we measure people? How do we measure someone's qualifications, see what qualifications, attributes they have, and on the basis of that, then we can see, yes, this is what that person is. And then it's very important to know lakshana. to no qualifications, unless one is really aware of a person, qualifications of a thing, you can't identify. So I remember when we were studying chemistry, then what's water, what's gold, what's so they have this hard, the color, the taste, the touch, the smell. So lakshana, qualities. And on the basis of a quality, you identify something. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, is meant to give us what are the attributes of devotional service, what are the attributes of Vaishnavas. Srimad Bhagavatam describes Kanishtha Adhikaya, Madhyama Adhikaya, Uttama Adhikaya. They give qualifications. Madhyama Adhikari is starts it. Ishvara Tadatineshu Bhaleshu Viteshu Cha Prema Marti Papriksha Yakarosi Samadhyama. Here's Samadhyama. Here's a Madhyam. Ishvara Tadatineshu. So he's very favorably serving the Lord and Prema Marti. He has loving affection with other devotees and he rejects envious people. On these are good qualifications, and the more attributes you have of something, the more certain its location. Like in trigonometry or geometry, that, you know, if you only have two coordinates, then you haven't really defined a point. In two dimensions you have, but in three-dimensional space where we live, you need at least three coordinates in order to really define where is something. So the more coordinates that you have, the more lakshan you have of a thing, of a person, then the better you can actually define that person. So anyway, Narada Muni here says, yes, but if someone shows the quality of Brahman, it doesn't matter if he's born in the Brahman family. And this is what Srila Prabhupada's whole fight continued from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If they're showing the qualifications of Brahman, it doesn't matter if they were in family of cow eaters, they were born there, but what are they doing now? And how are they behaving now? And then it doesn't matter what happened in the past. And it's a very interesting conversation about, well, Prabhupada, what about the future? And Prabhupada would say, gives the example of food. He says, you can say, well, what happens to this food if it goes bad in the future? So it may go bad, but eat it now because it's good now. So don't worry about the future. The future is hypothetical. The past is the past. But what's the qualification now? And then another important verse starts in next. Brahmachari Gurukule Samyato Virodhikan. And he starts off with the four spiritual classes and starting off with the Brahmachari. And then same philosophy. Prabhupada's philosophy is Narada Muni. It's everything for Krishna, nothing for me. Both junction of day and night, namely in the early morning, evening, he should be fully absorbed in thoughts of the spiritual master, fire, sun, God, Lord Vishnu, and by chanting Gayatri Mantra, should always worship them. Being called for the spiritual master, the student should study the Vedic scriptures regularly every day before beginning his studies, and at the end of his studies, the disciple should respectfully offer obeisances unto the spiritual master. And then this is where he says the brahmacharya should go out in the morning and evening to collect alms. In other words, brahmacharya should beg. It says right here, brahmacharya should beg. And he should offer all that he collects to the spiritual master. He should eat only if ordered to take food by the spiritual master. That's another case of abuse. Otherwise, if the spiritual master does not give this order, he may sometimes have to fast. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has these examples of discipleship that are like really, really extreme examples of when the spiritual master tests the disciple. Of course, they have to be very qualified spiritual masters. But here, Srila Prabhupada would like to cite this verse, right? The disciple doesn't eat, spiritual master doesn't call you, you don't eat. Of course, We don't have that type of immediate connection necessarily with spiritual master. And prasadam is always ready and waiting. And Srila Prabhupada had a different philosophy. He had a big barrel of gulab jamuns, and every time you got a little overly anxious or passionate, then you could take a gulab jamun just to sort of balance things off. But at least the essence should be there, and that's what's important. We may not necessarily be practicing, because not just for brahmachari, but you read about how varnaprastha is meant to live. I mean, no one lives like that. No one can live like that. But somehow or another, the essence of all of these things we need to actually extract. And part of that essence is that type of unbelievable fidelity to guru, but guru really means the embodiment or the duties which are described in Shastra. Duty. And that's a good portion of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's call to duty, that you have to be dutiful. Sukha dukhe same kritva lava lava jaja. You like it, you don't like it, it feels good, it doesn't feel good. People praise you, people blame you, it doesn't matter. You just do your duty. And if you build Krishna consciousness on being very dutiful, dutiful by whatever the standards that are framed by society that are there within the Krishna consciousness movement, that then actually becomes the basis of varnashram. There's rules, but obviously people need to adhere to those rules, and dutiful people adhere to rules. And without duty, without being dutiful or dedication to the principles of Dharma, it's not really possible to become Krishna conscious, because Krishna consciousness is much more difficult than that. So you can't sarva dharma parikritya. You can't give up dharma unless you've embraced it. Sometimes we want to give it up before we've even embraced it. Yudhisthira Maharaj lied, I don't have to tell the truth. But first you have to be so truthful like Yudhisthira Maharaj. Just that example is there. It's there in the Mahabharata. I'm a Mahabharata expert. It's not here, Krishna Dharma Prabhu, but it's there in the Mahabharata. Yudhisthira Maharaj says, and it just gives an idea of the level of what it means, sarva dharma parityaja. It's not a small thing. He says, in my whole life, I've never said, thought, or performed a sinful activity. So when you become that dharmic, then if Krishna tells you now you give up dharma, then you can give it up. And Arjuna was no less. He was no less than Yudhisthira Maharaj. So, yes, we need to really embrace those principles of dharma, particularly here, varnashram dharma. Srila Prabhupada emphasized that a lot. And it doesn't really just, varnashram dharma doesn't really mean becoming a farmer. It really means living in the city, but embracing defining set of principles, that framework our society. Which means that those people who accept it voluntarily are in, and those people who don't are out. You never get a society that embraces everybody. Ultimately, you don't have it. But the problem is that we're not a state. We're a church. Or we're a charity, and we've got laws, but we don't have any policemen. And when Brahmins have to act like policemen, it's a really thankless task. It's a really thankless task. And that's a real quandary. Therefore, just being a religion and establishing society, it only works if you actually have legal power. It only works when you become a state. Because without being able to enforce laws, especially in Kali Yuga, there's no reason in the world why people will follow it. Sometimes complaints that people have, I don't know, say things like, GVC body, or there's passed much legislation, but then there's no one. When someone breaks it, what happens? And of course, we can pass some more resolution, or we take some type of action, some type of ecumenical action. You know, you're banned from a temple, but it just doesn't. That's about as much as a church can do. You can't come into the temple. What else can we do? And certainly, the society that we live in isn't going to put someone in jail for going to McDonald's, which some people may be doing on their way out of here because we didn't fulfill their dietary requirements when they came to the menu. Anyway, I should stop talking. 8:30, actually. There are already 100 plus deviations. If I deviated, could you add to the list? Could you make any comments? Would you like to comment on this interesting principle of satiation by overindulgence?
Well, in Bombay, one of the devotees mentioned to Srila Prabhupada the philosophy of the person you mentioned. And Prabhupada said, if that were true, the pig would be the greatest sannyasi.
That's summed up in a sutra. Thank you. And on that note, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.